The Be Rad podcast is brought to you by MOFO, male optimization formula with organs to boost testosterone. Brad's macadamia masterpiece, mind-blowing nut butter blend now available on Amazon. Bala enzyme, electrolyte and triple enzyme recovery drink mix. Paleo Valley, nutrient-rich, ancestral-inspired health products. By Optimizers, performance supplements like magnesium, probiotics, and more. And B-Rad Whey Protein Super Fuel. Coming soon. Stay tuned for details. And please visit bradkearns.com to check out my personal selection of favorite products for health, fitness, and peak performance with great discounts for listeners. And here we go with the show.
Mindset practices, lifestyle, nutrition, and exercise, all four of those pillars, that's when the magic happened. That's when everything changed for me. Because when you fix your gut, then your neurotransmitters come alive. Now you're producing serotonin and dopamine, and now you feel like a human being and you're happy again. I ate a lot of food as a vegetarian vegan, and I kept eating and eating and eating. So it wasn't because I wasn't eating, quote, enough beans. I wasn't absorbing any of that protein to any meaningful capacity.
Hey, listeners, I discovered an awesome new electrolyte and triple enzyme powdered drink that's going to knock your socks off. It's called Bala Enzyme. And it comes in a convenient little pouch of bright orange powder that you pour into water for the ultimate electrolyte and antioxidant drink. It's simple, convenient, and yes, the orange tint comes from a potent serving of turmeric, along with a clean and diverse assortment of enzymes and electrolytes, and a perfect taste that's not fake or too sweet. Bala was created by husband and wife doctors to help their patients recover from inflammation, improve hydration, speed up recovery, even relieve joint pain, improve digestion, and boost immunity. I love their incredible devotion to product quality. There's a lot of research behind it. And I just sprinkle this packet into ice water, and it's so easy to stay hydrated because you absolutely enjoy the taste of the drink. Get their convenient little packets. They even designed it with the tear half torn, so it's easy to open into the water. I love what they think of. And it comes in three exciting flavors, pineapple, lime, and berry. It's so potent, it might stain your fingers if you get it on your fingers. And yes, that's a good thing for a serving of turmeric that's that potent. It's also sugar-free, zero carb, and promoting of the three R's, rehydrate, relieve, and revive. Please visit balaenzyme.com, B-A-L-A-E-N-Z-Y-M-E. And of course, there's a special deal for B-Rad podcast listeners, 30% off your first order. Just use the code BRAD30 at balaenzyme.com. Hi, listeners. Get ready for an amazing story of health transformation from Barbara Diaz de Leon, coming to you from beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, where she is a practicing health coach certified for the Primal Health Coach Institute. And she runs an operation called Daily Wellness for You. And boy, does she walk her talk, because she had a real struggle for most of her adult life with an assortment of really disastrous health troubles that oftentimes evaded traditional medical treatment and diagnosis. She reports that she had constant fatigue, body-wide joint pain, requiring two medications for hypertension, all kinds of hormone imbalances, digestive problems, leaky gut syndrome, as it's now known, but was difficult for her to figure out in these years past. Now, at 57 years old, she's healthier than ever. She's lost 30 pounds and kept it off, helps other people do the same. And so we are going to talk through a story which, unfortunately, seems to be disturbingly common, where people report similar vague symptoms of just malaise. She said her worst symptom was a complete loss of zest for life because she had this constant brain fog and fatigue. She's going to talk about her vegetarian / wannabe vegan diet that she tried valiantly to adhere to for so many years and is believed to be the root cause of a lot of her suffering because of the depletion that occurred from that restrictive diet, and also the leaky gut brought about or exacerbated by a lot of grain consumption and the allergies that so many of us have to gluten and the other offensive agents that cause gut inflammation. And so she discovered a more well-rounded, she calls it a paleo-style diet. That was sort of the catalyst, as well as going to some functional medicine. I love how she talks about mindset throughout the show and integrates that into her healing and her transformation. So it wasn't just choosing the right foods, but it was also believing that she deserved to be healthier and that she could stand up for herself and assert herself with her rough journey through the medical establishment to find people that would actually continue to test further or not be shut off to some of the progressive ideas like, hey, maybe diet has something to do with my thyroid function and all these other problems that I'm having. And there's so many people that have stories like this where they've turned everything around. They feel fantastic, reversing the biological clock literally in so many ways. Here at 57, she reported offhanded that she's right around 9 minutes for the mile, which is in the superior category for people at age 50, with the Cooper Institute's vaunted test of health competency that is strongly predictive of longevity. And they found that this mile run test is superior to looking at blood values and all the things that we try to track our health outcomes in the future. So she's fit, she's healthy, she's got her diet dialed in, and she's helping a lot of people do the same. I think you're going to love this conversation with Barbara Diaz de Leon of dailywellnessforyou.com. Hi, Barbara.
Hey there.
How's it going? All right.
Going good.
Sorry, I'm late. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, I better check my schedule.
Oh, I've done that. I can relate. You get all involved and it's like, oh yeah, I've got this calendar. Got to deal with it.
Yeah. You live in Wisconsin?
Yeah. We have a nice blanket of snow occurring right now. So yes.
What part?
I'm near Milwaukee. So oh, okay, not up north. So
I have a lot of cousins in Milwaukee. You look in the phone book, there's a lot of Kerns.
Okay. Yeah.
Been there a lot.
Now I'll see it all the time, now that you mentioned it.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's kind of a bad day weather-wise here, but you know, what are you going to do? It's just part of the life here. So
yeah. I guess so. And we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Amazing health transformation, huh?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And it was a long, long journey. So my big goal is not to have anyone suffer, you know, as long as I did, right? Or be told, you know, over and over by doctors that you're doing well and you're fine and you're really not, you know. And I know, you know, Al Russ talks about that too. You know, they sit there and say, you know, well, you know, exercise more, eat less, things like that, and not addressing the root cause issues. So, So my mission is to just be a story of hope and that it's not too late. And, you know, with small, simple steps, you can get this done. Like it can happen. And I did my transformation I'm 57, I'll be 58 in June. And I didn't even start working out. Exercise was one of the last pieces of my journey. And I didn't even start working out until I was, you know, 55, just after I turned 55. And people think, you know, sometimes when they see my videos on Facebook and things like that, they think I've been working out forever. And it's like, no, I was never athletic. I was the last kid picked out on teams growing up. So it's been fun. That's been a fun part of my journey, is the exercise piece, now that I don't have body-wide joint pain and I have energy. So yeah, it's been fantastic.
So tell us how it started. You had a long history of just nagging conditions that were from mild to serious, but were a big mess for, I guess, a lot of your adult life. Or when did we first start complaining about health problems?
Yes. Actually, it was a long time ago. I was in my mid-30s when I started to have some fatigue. And so I went to the conventional doctor and they did find I was hypothyroid, did not check for any antibodies or autoimmune conditions. I was prescribed Synthroid, and I'd gotten a little bit of relief, but not really. But my TSH, the common tests that they do, and they usually only do TSH. If you're lucky, you'll get a T4 done too. It came out in the normal range. So they just said, well, you know, everybody gets tired when they get older and you're fine. And I'm like, I'm not fine. And so the fatigue was my main chronic symptom for over 15 years. And then I started to develop female problems too in my mid-30s. And that wasn't addressed properly either. And I ended up with a hysterectomy at 39, and I was married in my mid-30s. And so that took away the opportunity to have children. So that was a big emotional roller coaster as well. And meanwhile, I'm still tired on top of all of this, and I'm having poor sleep, brain fog, my mood imbalances, body-wide joint pain, like I mentioned before. And I kept getting told that you're fine. And loved ones would say, oh, you're just fine. Everybody gets tired, you know, when they get older. And it's such an invisible thing. And then I finally turned over some rocks with different providers, and Lyme disease was diagnosed. Hashimoto's thyroiditis was diagnosed. I was also diagnosed with a lot of extra heavy metals in my body, more than anyone should have. And I have genetic detox issues that was tested. So that was important finding to know. So it was great to have all these answers, right? So I finally got them, and I was treated for them, but I was trying to supplement my way out of my mess. And I really wasn't getting great results yet. I had some improvement, but not that much. And it wasn't until I adapted the Primal lifestyle, I became a Primal health coach, the Primal lifestyle, and, you know, also, included mindset practices, lifestyle, nutrition, and exercise, all four of those pillars. That's when the magic happened. That's when everything changed for me. And it's what I do on the daily that makes a difference in my life, even to this day, even though I'm treated properly and things like that. If I don't keep those things in check, then things will start to flare up and the wheels start falling off the bus. I feel fantastic now. I was on two blood pressure medicines before. I'm off both of them. And my blood pressure is better now than when I was on the two medications. And I'm off of those prescriptions. I don't have fatigue at all anymore. All the body right joint pain is gone. The brain fog is gone. And really the worst symptom I had before was I lost my zest for life. And that's really a dark, bad place to be in. And that was probably the worst symptom of all. And now I get up every day and I can't wait to hit the ground running, and literally too. That's my new thing at the gym. So I'm starting to run. It's fantastic. And I like to be a story of hope, because there's so many women my age in their mid 50s or even in their 40s that are not getting any answers and being told they're fine. And their family members look at them like they're nuts sometimes and think they're, just faking it. And, you know, and I get that there's a lot of mindset things involved here, and, you know, I'm all for it, but the conventional doctors were starting to tell me that I needed counseling and things like that. And I'm 100% for counseling, you know, been there, done that, but I just knew there was a physical root issue. So, actually there were several, it was not just one thing. So that's, you know, my story. And that's why I'm pretty much a zealot now for anyone who will care to listen about my transformation.
Well, this story seems so common, and these terms are bantered around. You hear a lot of people getting diagnosed with Hashimoto's and chronic fatigue and adrenal fatigue and autoimmune. And I'm just curious, why do you think it's so common? And how did you, in particular, start feeling these things in your 30s? Like, do you think it was strongly diet related, or how did you get into this mess?
Yeah, I think, diet was a very big key for me. I was a vegetarian for many years, thinking I was serving my body well. And I was actually a pretty healthy vegetarian. I mean, I ate some junk food here and there, but I had salads every day, tons of oatmeal, lots of whole wheat products, all of that. And that was a disaster for me. That was a disaster for my autoimmune conditions. And I know that can work for some people, and I know we're all different, but it did not serve me well. And I actually probably half of that time I was vegan, because I always strive to be a vegan, and I just couldn't get myself to do it. And I think that was my body's innate, intuition to say, don't do that. You need eggs, you need some, you know, animal products in your life. So that was a big transition for me. And the second piece of that would be stress management and lifestyle, not putting enough attention on those kinds of things. And of course, with the fatigue, I wasn't moving at all. Like, I had no exercise in my life. And when I first started at the gym, I could hardly get up off the floor. That's how bad it was with the body wide joint pain and just being out of shape. And I would not have gone to the gym had it not been for some kind soul that encouraged me to join a group class of all things. That was the last thing I wanted to do. I didn't want to be embarrassed. And so it all mattered, but it did start with the nutrition piece for me. When I switched over to a paleo-based diet, that was a game changer, 100%.
So you were vegetarian for how long?
Oh, gosh, probably 20 years, well over right. 15 years, yeah.
That goes back into your youth, and I suppose you were inspired by just being cleaner and maybe having some sustainability ideals and things like that that are bantered around. I love how people now are countering that. Dr. Mm-hmm. Paul Saldino does a good job talking about sustainable agriculture and how a properly raised animal can have carbon sequestering effect, and that this whole thing is a lot of it's propaganda to stand there and think that avoiding animal products is making you a better citizen and also healthier. But I suppose in your case, and I want to go to that comment you made that it can work for some people, which I think we're now seeing an explosion of insight that things are, individual, mm-hmm. and someone's diet, probably the people who are shouting most loudly about it, can work really well for them. But it is by definition a restrictive diet, and you're restricting mm-hmm. a lot of the foods that are ranked as the most nutrient dense. So I suppose you got into a tailspin over a long period of time where you started to get the issues with depletion of certain key micronutrients. And how did that, what insight do you have there from unwinding this now?
Yes, that was a tough one because I did belong to the, animal group organizations that protected animals, the vegan groups. I was a donor for all of them financially, and I was very wrapped up in it, 100%. And so that was hard to turn my mindset around that. And I'm so happy now that, like you had mentioned, there's people out there that are shedding light on the real truth about this. And what can happen, what happens, with a purely vegan or vegetarian diet, those aren't safe either. And then also, go too far sideways, but also how, like, a lot of people think chicken, when they do finally eat meat, they think chicken is the most clean for, I'm talking about conventional. Mm-hmm. They think that's the best one. And actually, if you're going to buy conventional meat, the beef is your better choice, like for clean meat and humane things and all the whole thing, really. And then as far as the micronutrient depletion, I had also osteopenia at a very young age, and that got my attention too. And
what is that?
Osteopenia, it's the stage before osteoporosis. Mm. So my bones were already going to start become brittle and weak. And I actually ended up with neck surgery. I had bulging discs. I've had steroid injections in my hip and my shoulders, all kinds of things. And I'm not, I can't prove it, but I'm quite sure if I had this way of living early on, I think I would have prevented that. And one of my doctors does feel that my vegan vegetarian lifestyle did contribute to those musculoskeletal things I had. I had shoulder surgery. And like I said, the neck surgery was the big one. That was like the final straw. That and my blood pressure kept going up, and I was about to go on a third medication, and that got my attention. So yes.
And during this time, you were adhering to this pretty strict plant-based diet is what you're saying.
Yeah. I was always trying to be vegan. So I think maybe 50 to 60%.
Oh, that's a good new category, Barbara. I like that. How people say, I'm carnivore-ish, or I'm animal-based, but not all the way. And so you're like a wannabe or trying to be vegan. That's a whole nother dietary category you just invented. Right.
Yes. Yes. That was me. And I was such a proponent of it. I would just to be preaching about it all the time. So, so dogmatic. And then I had all the shame whenever I would eat cheese or eggs or anything like that on top of it. And I had to watch to help get me out of it, like a lot of YouTube videos of ex-vegans. I mean, thank God for them, just to get my head wrapped around it and, move in that direction. So yeah.
So what was the turning point? Did you come across a practitioner or have some sort of awakening from a book? And how did you start to say, hey, I'm going to junk this journey that hasn't worked well for me and try something new?
Yeah. And what happened was, I was getting so desperate. So I was trying everything. And believe me, I had all the vegan books and all the, like I said, the subscriptions to vegan, you know, influencers and doctors and things like that out there. And then I came across somebody local, a registered dietitian who worked for Dr. William Davis, the Wheat Belly author.
Oh, so you're in Wisconsin, Milwaukee area, which is where Dr. Davis is based, right?
That's right. That's right. And he didn't give the presentation, but she did. And it was called Delete the Wheat. And I had no idea what it was about. I didn't know it was going to be a paleo thing. And I went by myself and she's going over all these meals and every single one includes animal protein. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? But I actually listened to her and I do like science. I was just blind to the other side of science. And I actually have a registered nurse background. Actually, I'm still an RN. So I like science. I'm a bit of a geek with that. So I listened to her. She did a great job of explaining things in nice, simple terms. And I thought, okay, fine, I'll give this a try. You know, somehow I ended up at this, you know, in-person event, you know, called Delete the Wheat. And I tried, so I went home, I bought some ground beef. Of all things, ground beef was my first entry. I think my body knew it needed it. And I made a taco salad and it tasted fantastic. and I had no problem digesting it because I know that's a big thing. A lot of vegetarians will say like, you can't digest the food. Thankfully, I didn't wreck everything with my hydrochloric acid yet, I guess. But it was fine. But there was a lot of emotional, mental piece. Like I would talk myself out of it sometimes and, you know, go back to eating all the grains and things like that. But I always felt better when I ate the paleo based diet. And so I'm so thankful for that in-person event that I randomly went to and had no idea it was going to be, you know, that kind of an event. So that was the first step towards entering into this lifestyle that I have now. Yeah.
Wow, the describing of deprogramming those fixed and rigid beliefs is pretty heavy, because I think we all harbor those. And when something comes to challenge them, it's very, very difficult, whether it's changing your political party or your views on whether these silly masks are saving the planet or a violation of personal freedom. And I don't talk about those things on my shows on purpose because I want to focus on our important topics. But these are great examples that are floating around now where, boy, you stuck to your path for so long. That it's and of course you did it for reasons of health and for self-optimization, and now to knock those blocks over is a really tough challenge. I mean, I guess you were slapped in the face by feeling better after your ground beef. It's hard to ignore the symptoms, especially when you're going in there dragging your feet and saying, oh gee, I'm gonna try this, but it's probably not gonna work, or whatever's going on in your head.
Yeah. And it's amazing now, you know, with the views on it, it does get intense, you know, the dietary things, even just within family members. You know, I have to learn, especially since I'm such a zealot and my family members have seen my change in friends, but you can just see the veil over their eyes, like, oh, that has so much fat in it. Or, you know, that I don't eat red meat that often. And I'm very careful because I can tell, I've learned the hard way, that they're not ready for a conversation. And I don't want to have waste their time or my time or get into an argument over it because they're pretty set. But a lot of my clients, family and friends who do ask me, want to have a meaningful conversation with me about my transformation, it's usually because they're at a down and out place and they're willing. So same as me, I was down and out and I was just starting to become open to anything. I just was desperate. So I'm always thankful about that. So I'm always trying to learn how I can best gently approach the subject if I think someone's suffering, because I hate to see it. You know, I see people randomly at the store or wherever, and I know they're my age and they look completely different than me. And they're just dragging, their eyes are lifeless. And I'm just thinking, it does not have to be that way. But then, you know, you look in their cart, if it's at the grocery store, and they have all these foods that are, you know, seemingly healthy, you know, according to, you know, what we might see on TV or the news and all of that. And I have to hold back and just, you know, have compassion for them that they just don't know yet, you know, how to solve their problems. Yeah.
Okay, so there's the down and out category, the desperation where the person's really willing to try something and they're receptive. But short of that, what have you learned? What is your graceful approach to have that, you know, that opening at the social gathering or something, and maybe someone asking you a couple few questions about your new career path? And then you either pounce and you see the eyes glaze over, or, you know, what has worked for you, especially we're going to talk about how you built your business, but, you know, bringing in a client is a major accomplishment, because again, it's people have difficulty departing from their fixed habits.
Yeah. So if it's at the, you know, dinner table at a family event, usually I try to go with what I call permission-based, you know, conversation, because I used to just say, here's a meal plan. And I would send it to them and I would just basically shove the information down them. Here, I thought you would, you know, I thought this might be of interest, and I'd send them a PDF, or I'll start talking about it. So now I'll ask them, you know, would you like to know what I eat in a day? Or would you like to know what my routine is, you know, for the morning or whatever it may be. So it's more permission-based, and I ask them if they would like to know. And I measure their response on that to see, you know, watch their body language and things like that, just to see if they really want to have that conversation. And if they, if I can tell they're very passionate about what they're currently doing, I usually would say, well, I'm really happy to, you know, chat with you about that away from this event at a different time, if you like, you know, there's a lot to say, you know, about the subject. So I'm very, very, permission-based. Like I ask them, would you like to know more? Would you like to know more about my transformation? Would you like to know, you know, more about,
would you like to know more about my incredible, fantastic transformation?
Yes.
Well, also, you change your physique significantly. So I think that's a pretty good business card, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah. That had changed a lot. And I love that part of, well, I love all the parts about my transformation, but especially because I always say women who are older, you know, can't gain muscle and things like that. And I've followed Dr. Gabrielle Lyons, and I understand now how important muscle is. And she's very integral as far as people who I followed when I started on this journey too. And, you know, it's so important. And I had no muscle before. And like I said, I never worked out. You know, I was never, even as a child, I never was athletic. And now I'm basically, you know, I'm doing almost ready to do a pull-up on my own without the band. I mean, I'm practicing pistol squats now. I'm using TRX for them, but my goal is to be able to do them without it. And now I'm just starting to do some things, some running. It's brand new for me. So I'd like to try to get to, you know, my mile now, the best is over nine minutes, but just to show like you can do it. And the, that's another thing. I used to be very introvert. I wouldn't show anything on Facebook now, but now I do it not so much as not for bragging and to say, hey, look at me, but it's more of a message of you can do this too. Like if you would like to do that. In fact, I had someone reach out to me this morning and we had a conversation, texting conversation about it. She wanted to know more. She goes, boy, she's about my age. She's like, you're ripped. And you know, and so she was open to the conversation. And so I asked her, you know, would you like to know what I do or what I eat and things like that? And she was open to it. And so I'm really hoping that she'll, you know, make some changes, and I think she will. So that is, you know, definitely something that shocks a lot of people when, you know, especially people who knew me before, people who know meet me now think I've always been fit. And it's like, no, that wasn't the case at all. I was an inflammatory mess, you know, and plus I injured easily, you know, so I had to be really careful. I started off very slow. I didn't dive in. I mean, sometimes with the bicep stuff, it was no weights, you know, with some of the movement. So, or 2 pound weight, that's it. So, yeah. So I do that, to be a message of hope and that anything is possible. So, yeah.
So you became this hot inflamed mess over years of, you're talking a lot about diet. Is there anything else that you feel like was adverse lifestyle practices that contributed to this, demise and these conditions?
Yeah. Mindset was huge. There was a lot of mindset work on my end in terms of, you know, sense of worthiness, not feeling I deserve it. And just the world we live in is so negative, right? And I think we're just inherently negative as a protective thing, a primitive thing, you know, just to keep us safe from the, you know, the enemy tribe, if you will. But we have so much of it now and then toss on top of it, dings and all that on our phones, you know, everything's an emergency or now. And I worked in the corporate world for many years and, you know, that was always, you know, you're overworked and, you know, it's a lean staff. They're always pushing the envelope with that. And so it's just like, it's the mindset I had was so negative all the time. And that really made a huge difference for me. I wish I would have put mindset practice in earlier on, like in the beginning. I think that would have helped me with my journey, you know, for sure. Because then I would start to be, have the shame. Like if I would eat the meat, you know, like I said, that was a process. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And I would go vegan for a couple of weeks just because I had so much shame about it. Where if I had the right mindset that I'm doing this to fuel my body because I love my body, it'd make a big difference. And actually I do, there are a couple of clients and, you know, one in particular comes to mind, you know, right now that we didn't even touch nutrition for the first 6 weeks. And she came to me for weight loss, not for like life coaching or anything else. It was mainly for weight loss just because she had so much self-loathing and things like that. And there was no way she was going to, you know, have these massive, for her would have been, it was massive dietary changes and, her mind needed to get right. So yeah, she, and now she's doing great. Now she's like, you know, doing a stellar job and feeling great. No more pain, losing weight, kind to herself, puts herself, you know, first when it comes to health. And yeah, so it's mindset's a big piece. A lot, at least with the audience or the followers that I'm attracting, the mindset is a big deal. Yeah.
Boy, I mean, it's a difficult catch 22 in a way, because your mindset's, you're not going to have this glowing mindset if you feel like crap all the time either.
Right.
And,
right.
And you know, you're not going to love yourself too well if you're tired and inflamed all the time.
Yes. And that's what it's so, it's also connected. And that's, it's just such a beautiful harmony because when you fix your gut, then your neurotransmitters come alive. Now you're producing serotonin and dopamine, and now you feel like a human being and you're happy again. So you can't like that. That's where the physical part comes in. So it's, you know, you can only do the mindset will go so far, just like the physical piece will just go so far. You know, when you have them all together, when you have the nutrition, the mindset, the lifestyle and the movement, all it's a perfect harmony. You need it all to just so you can function optimally as a human being and think optimally too, you know, as well. But yeah, I do impress upon my clients or any family or friends that'll listen about how important it is to heal the gut, because if you don't have that, your poor body is not making those neurotransmitters that it needs. Plus you're not absorbing the nutrients that you need to absorb. So of course you feel terrible. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The gut brain connection, which probably anyone's eyes would glaze over 10 years ago, is now an emerging field of medicine. What is it? 80% of serotonin is made in the gut, and it has such a huge function on our brain chemistry.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then to, tail on to that would be the glyphosate on the foods. It was Dr. Stephanie Senoff that talks about how glyphosate interferes with the pathway that makes the serotonin. And so with the glyphosate and like wheat being double sprayed, so if you're vegan and eating a ton of wheat and it's not organic, and it's questionable too, even if it is organic, that some of that's come over, but you're overdosing your body with this glyphosate. Well, no wonder nobody feels good. You know, no wonder there's, you know, so many prescriptions for, you know, SSRIs and things like that out there. I'm not saying stop them. And I'm not saying don't take them. I'm 100% for Western medicine when needed, but my goodness, you know, when you think about it, that gut is so important when you're interrupting all those pathways, it does make a difference. It's an incredible, incredible.
So it sounds like your long-term adherence to this grain-based vegetarian / wannabe vegan diet, you got depleted because you were eliminating a lot of nutritious foods. And then secondly, it sounds like you had some leaky gut condition from all the gluten and all the things that are discussed at length in Wheat Belly and other books. And so now, not only are you devoid of nutrition, whatever you're getting is not being absorbed well because of the inflammation of the gut. You want to talk about how that came into the mix with eventually your diagnosis and how you healed that?
Yeah. Yeah. And not only, you know, on top of all that, with getting the sicknesses and feeling fatigue, you know, constant fatigue and the joint pain, I also gained about 30, 35 pounds, you know, of unwanted weight too, but I was feeling so poorly that I got to a point where I just didn't care about the weight. And just a side note about the weight, I did go on popular weight loss programs and I did lose the weight three times and I gained it back all three times. And all three times I was still, you know, had my high blood pressure medicine. I still had joint pain. I still felt crappy. The only thing that was different was I could fit in smaller jeans, which is nice, but it wasn't lasting. And I was hungry all the time because your body's just starved for that nutrition. So when I got like the osteopenia diagnosis and was starting to get super frustrated about people, not the doctors, not hearing me and just constantly telling me my thyroid is fine, you know, to eat less, exercise more, not even taking into account what I was eating. And if they did have anything to say about eating, they would say, go eat whole wheat and things like that, whole grains, you know, it was the worst advice in the world. And that inflammation, I'm surprised I was able to think my way out of it and like attend that, you know, that event with Dr. Williams, the Delete the Wheat event by his registered dietitian. And it was a desperation point, really. And actually, I went through a couple of different functional medicine providers, integrative providers, before I found the one that turned over the right rock. So, you know, that's another thing too. You know, if you feel like you're not getting answers from your doctor, even if they're integrative and functional medicine, you keep going until the rocks get turned. It's not that they're doing anything wrong. They're just not turning over enough rocks for you, you know, and, you know, they want to solve the problem, but, you know, so that's another thing I did too. I changed doctors. And for somebody like me, where before I was such a people pleaser kind of person, It was very hard to do that. But I found the courage to, you know, say, sorry, I need to move to a different doctor and move on. Yeah.
I want to tell you about Inside Tracker, an awesome new ultra-personalized nutrition and lifestyle program that combines data from your comprehensive blood panels, genetic test results, and lifestyle and fitness data from a Fitbit, for example, and organizes everything into one super cool online portal of your personal health. I am just getting going with this, and it's awesome. It has everything in one spot. For every blood result, you can click on a blog post or watch a video to learn more about these values. It's a great education in general health and self-quantification, and it was developed by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometric data from MIT, Tufts, and Harvard. The patented Inside Tracker algorithm calculates your so-called inner age, and it shows each biomarker as either optimized, needs to improve, or at risk. And then you can take precise corrective action with a science-backed plan to reach your performance goals. Oh, mercy, people. On my first round of testing, guess what my inner age was? 62! Shocker! Because I just turned 56. I'm sorry. You know what? When I delivered that blood test, I believe I was a little overtired, and several of my biomarkers were deemed to be subpar. So I made some changes as directed. I recovered better, rested, went back, and delivered way better numbers at the next blood test. The Inside Tracker motto is, change is an inside job, and that is for real. You got to keep tabs on this stuff to be at your best. And they have an amazing deal just for BRAD podcast listeners. They are going to give away a grand prize of $1,500 in Inside Tracker value. So to enter, all you have to do is go to insidetracker.com/BRADPOD, BRADPOD. Check it out right now at the link and enter the contest.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because the medical industry is so well established. There's such a tremendous level of trust. And I'm curious how the physicians that you saw were dispensing dietary advice and what you think about that in general.
Yeah. Not one of them, you know, recommended before the functional medicine doctors, you know, did, but they weren't identifying my Lyme disease. That was a big thing. They identified the Hashimoto's, but the genetic detox issues I have and the heavy metals, that wasn't diagnosed by the first couple of functional medicine providers, integrative medicine providers. And finally, when the Lyme and the detox genetics were identified, that made a big difference for me because then I knew what I was dealing with and where to target. But before that, the conventional medicine doctors would basically say, don't eat, you know, red meat, if at all, eat, you know, whole grains, you know, oatmeal is fine. And I was always hungry, you know, on that diet too. And it didn't matter how many beans or anything I ate, I was never satisfied. And I think all those years where I didn't have fat, And it's like, it's amazing how well my body does with fat. And I'm not keto because I tend to like a lot of carbs. I work out hard too. So I ate a lot of carbs and I just like blueberries and stuff. I'll just say it. I like my complex carbs, but my non-processed carbs, I should say. But, you know, it was never any, you know, advice. And then they would say, I remember even at the first appointment, I was 33, and the doctor saying, well, we all get tired when we're older. And it's like 33 years old. Are you kidding? You know, I want to, you know, have babies soon. Like, that, you know, like I'm still young yet, you know, and it's interesting now at 57, I feel so much better than even before when I, you know, before I got ill. And, you know, things came, you know, to a head for me. So it's amazing. If you give the body the things that it needs, it definitely will do it. But yeah, it's unfortunate with the conventional doctors. You know, I still hear that to this day from people, you know, that they'd say, well, I follow a good diet. You know, I bought this not low fat or no fat cream cheese and sugar-free jelly and put it on a piece of, you know, whole wheat toast. And I'm like, oh, that's a disaster.
Right. You know? But it's widely regarded as being healthy. And same with vegetarian veganism has a tremendous reputation in general society as being, you know, superior to the average Joe who's just driving up to a fast food joint. And it's fascinating. I wonder how long it's going to take to unwind some of these things, particularly that a medical professional who's highly trained in the areas that you might very well need desperately so when you have a disease, but they're still dispensing dietary advice, which they not necessarily have any training or knowledge in. And that's where I don't know how we got to this point where someone who has no expertise, it's like going to get your car fixed and taking some notes about dietary recommendations from the mechanic. It's no different. And I hope I'm not offending. And if I am offending any physicians, hey, write in, email us, tell us how you feel. But, you know, some of the physicians, because of their immersion into medical science and the human body, are tremendous resources for diet and health expertise. Some of them who have a different opinion than people on the other side. There's the there's still a strong support for vegetarian veganism and doing it properly and getting your supplements that you need if you're going to have a restrictive diet and all that stuff's wonderful. But for those who have no knowledge and no background to dispense dietary advice, that's who I'm going to call out right now and say, you know, come on, just shut your mouth and suggest that your patient go and educate themselves further about diet, perhaps. And maybe if you're interested, since you see patients all day, maybe you could also educate yourself further before you give advice.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It drives me crazy. You know, when I hear about, you know, the doctors I'm saying, and also how, you know, the plant protein is fine and they're just convinced of this. And, you know, and it's like the proof is, you know, just look at the people just following even a paleo diet. There's countless people worldwide that have gotten off diabetes medicine, blood pressure medicines, and, you know, all kinds of things. And they're doing fantastic. And it's many blessings to the doctors that have taken the time to educate themselves beyond medical school and residency. You know, there's so many of them. Well, like, you know, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, you know, she's got tons of education post the regular medical school, you know, Dr. Camberry, all of them, you know, that took the extra time. I have two doctors that, you know, I see now that they take the additional time, and it's unfortunate it's not taught in their program. And I get that. But like you said, if you don't know it, don't dispense it. Like, don't dispense that as a prescription, you know, food advice, you know, for sure. No, absolutely. And another one too, is that, and I had high blood pressure and, you know, was on, like I said, two medications for it, just to keep it at high normal. And another thing is the salt thing, when they say decrease your salt. And isn't it like, there's just like a small percent of people, per the author of the Salt Fix, that are salt sensitive, that where it truly does affect their blood pressure. So why would you tell everybody that when it only affects a small percent of people, when they have that genetic, you know, propensity, you know, for salt to bother them? And so that was another thing too. I'd starve myself of salt, of all my minerals. And I wonder if my, you know, hair wouldn't grow, my nails, and just, well, I had osteopenia, like I mentioned. So that was another necessary component, you know, added back in my life. And now I salt everything pretty liberally, and I do really well. Yeah.
Right. I think a lot of this information is 30, 40, 50 years old, and it's what was known back then and is still printed in the textbooks or the, you know, the rigid, straightforward education that's dispensed that takes so long to evolve. And so when we're saying cut back on your eggs because your cholesterol is too high, that's what was believed in the rudimentary research from 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And now we know that you manufacture whatever cholesterol you need, and your dietary cholesterol has no association with blood cholesterol per the Framingham study, the longest and largest, most respected epidemiological study of all time. But if that's kind of causing someone to blank over, back to our context, you know, find another doctor if you make some quips like that and they get shot down. But I like some of your quick comments. I want to ask you more about why is the chicken ranked below the beef when we're talking about the health consequence of eating meat? And then second, what about these plant proteins and how they compare to, you know, a complete protein from an animal source?
Right, right. Well, first of all, my understanding is that all beef, even conventional beef, that they do the cattle do have time outside. So right there, they have some time outside. So the fresh air and sunshine, just like for people, you know, it's very necessary and it makes a difference, you know, for you for sure. So they do have that time. And then also, you know, one cattle can produce a lot of meat, one, you know, cow can, where chickens are, you know, I have a hard time watching them, but I saw a documentary about that and I only watched a few pieces of it, but where they're just crammed together, they're not, you know, fed right at all, where at least the cattle, like I said, they do have some natural part of their life is semi-natural, where the chickens, it's totally not. And chickens are, you know, they eat grubs and worms and things like that. They're certainly not vegetarians. Oh, and that drives me crazy when I see eggs at the store and they say, you know, vegetarian fed. I'm like, stay away from those at all costs. You know, it's not a good egg. but yeah, they're, you know, cramped together and they're not, you know, they're definitely not getting any of their anything that would mirror what they would do out in, if they were natural, you know, out in the world or out in the farm, you know, wherever. And as far as plant protein goes, the absorption rate, well, first of all, I can't remember the amino acid. Dr. Gabriel Lyon's really good with this stuff. She's, of course, the expert. But, you know, there's a certain, I think it's lysine. It's very tough to get from the plant proteins. And then also, if you are going the plant protein route, to get the amount of the certain amino acids that you would need a ton of beans, like a lot. And then let's think about like what happens to the rest of your body when you're doing it, like the blood sugar consequence and things like that, if you did manage to eat all of these beans. And I know she's got a really good chart comparing like what an adequate protein source is. And then there's a question of even if you're going to absorb them, you know, with lectins and things like that in the way, you might not absorb them at all. And that's my case, you know, because I actually, you know, I ate a lot of food as a vegetarian vegan and I kept, you know, eating and eating and eating. So it wasn't because I wasn't eating, quote, enough beans. I wasn't absorbing any of that protein to any meaningful capacity. No.
Yeah, much more difficult to absorb. I think Paul Saudino had a quip about you're eating the plant, or you can eat the animal that ate those plants and digested them and converted them into a perfectly formed protein, the same biological machinery as the human. So you're just kind of going up the food chain to get a higher quality protein when we're comparing plant proteins to an animal-based protein. And then with the cow, right, that's such an interesting point. Like all cattle are grass-fed for most of their life. And then they go into the feedlot and they're grain fed and they're fed all that crappy stuff that the chicken gets too. But as a ruminant animal, right, with their four stomachs or whatever they have, they can better handle this nasty food that they get at the end of their life far in a far superior manner to the chicken or the pork, who have these elevated profiles of the unwanted fatty acids in their blood because of their feedlot raising. And the cow is not optimal either, but you're much more protected from those adverse nutritional profiles when you're choosing meat. And then if you're choosing grass-fed or 100% grass-fed, if you can find it, or an alternative animal like the buffalo, the bison, and some of that less popular stuff, then you're doing really well. But that's an interesting one to kind of correct when people are saying, well, I don't eat red meat, And they say it with that tone of voice, like, I'm pretty healthy. Yeah. I don't eat red meat. I just eat chicken and fish. Oh, good for you. Yeah. And then let's look at half the fish that are offered in the market, where how they score on Monterey Bay Aquarium Food Watch. And a lot of them are unsustainable. They have those heavy metal concentrations and things that you should never eat certain fish. And yes. So, boy, just go get your ground beef like Barbara did, sit yeah. down and you know, go to town, try it out.
Yeah. And chickens too, if I understand correctly, if I read this correctly, they have a lot of arsenic in them too. You know, so speaking of bad things, you know, like who wants to overdose on that? you know, that's another thing, but yeah, go get that ground beef. You won't be sorry, you know, for that for sure. But yeah, it's such a, you know, and it's, yeah, chicken's really just a poor quality meat. And even now, like when I eat chicken, I'm not nearly as satiated. I do eat it. I enjoy some chicken dishes and things like that, you know, for sure. But and turkey and things like that. But the beef is what's most satisfying for me. And yeah, I don't limit it, you know, and that's another thing. If people either are told not to eat it or eat it very little, and that drives me crazy. And, but also, it's interesting. It's like, you know, the cows, like you said, with the multiple stomachs that their whole digestion is different. And so a lot of times the vegan advocates compare to, you know, a heavy plant animal, you know, eating animal, or a cow that, you know, is an herbivore. It's like, no, they're, you know, they process it completely different. We can't be compared to them. We're a different animal, you know, simply put, you know, and, you know, we just can't do that. And, yeah, so it's very important. Like for me, it's for my clients, you know, it's very important that they eat animal protein, you know, for sure, you know, to help them, to give them the nutrients that they need, because usually they're pretty down and out by the time they come to me, you know, for help. So, you know, they do need that. So, or at least eggs for sure, you know, 100%.
So how did you heal that leaky gut, and what did it feel like to come back from chronic inflammation? I assume digestive pain and a lot of things that are associated with leaky gut.
Yeah, I had a lot of bloating. I had a lot of symptoms that weren't digestive, but the one I had was bloating and digest and, you know, things like constipation, and that all resolved pretty quickly. One of the big things when my gut was healed, and it took time, it wasn't overnight. I did have some benefits right away, but, you know, some other things took some, you know, longer periods of time, but it was like a veil was lifted over my eyes. And it's back to that gut brain connection. The veil was just lifted. I felt like a human being again, like I had energy and all of that. And it was almost like a drug, you know, and I didn't realize, I knew I didn't feel well. And I knew that, you know, I was ill, that there was some physical component, but I forgot how good it felt to be well. Like it was, you know, just if anything, do it for the mental health. Yeah, the losing the weight is great. And don't get me wrong, you know, fantastic. I'm glad I did. And I've easily kept it off, by the way. I'm never hungry. I'm never starving. It's probably from all that red meat I eat, right? But seriously, I'm never hungry or starving, because I'm getting the nutrition that I need, because the stomach is absorbing everything. You know, you get more bang for your buck when you do that. And, you know, just that mental piece is huge, huge. I got to a point where at the end of my career at my corporate job, I was having to write down things or put important things in three different areas. And that's another thing people say, oh, we all get like that when we get older. And I just want to say, just because something's common, or someone says, oh, that's common, we all get that, doesn't make it normal or right. And don't accept it. Like, you know, move on to the next doctor or to the next thing. But I would have to write, you know, a post-it note, to be in my electronic calendar, you know, put on a post-it note, put it on another calendar. And I was able to get away with it. No one picked up on it, but I was really losing my mind, you know, so my sharpness. Yeah. That was kind of scary. I even went and got a brain, a cognitive test done, just to make sure, because I thought, this is serious stuff. You hear about Alzheimer's, and, you know, I thought I better get a baseline. It came out okay. So I'm happy about that. But that's how worried I got about it, about that brain. So when the gut was healed, that made a huge difference for me personally in my brain, for sure. I haven't had a follow-up scan on my bones. It'd be interesting to do that, because like I said, I did have the osteopenia for, you know, the bone density. And so I need to get that rechecked, just really for fun, just to see where I'm at. Yeah.
So the exercise didn't come in until quite a ways down the road of your healing. Tell us how that slotted in there.
Yeah. Well, in the brain, the pathways that you set in your brain are so solid, really. So I had this fatigue brain. So I got used to not moving and not doing anything. It was easy to sit on the couch. And even though I was healed, it was easy to get dopamine hits and things like that from watching Netflix or whatever. Scrolling social media, things like that. So I knew I needed to move around and I was feeling up for it because I had the nutrition dialed in. The lifestyle was better. And like, this is time for me to start moving in. But I was afraid of getting injured because I had the neck surgery with the disc fusion and the shoulder surgery and cortisone injections in my hip. So I was afraid to move, really. And it's like I said, one friend, nice, kind soul, encouraged me to go to the gym with her, literally walked me through the door, you know, with that. And I was blessed with a place that they do a lot of modifications for you. So if you don't have to be, you know, if when you do a group class, you can, they'll challenge you, but then if you don't need to be challenged, they'll give you what you need. And so I did that. And the trainer that I had, I did some personal training just to make sure I did things correctly. And he had a physical therapy background. He wasn't a physical therapist, but an assistant. So he was very, keen on me doing the exercises right. He was very, you know, honed in on that. Yeah. So I was blessed with that. And I just started slow. And I just would, if I would start to hurt something, I would just give it time. Like I didn't rush back into it. And I was a bit impatient at first because it was a bit of a grind at first. You know, I was getting, you know, a bit impatient, like, gosh, why can't I do that? Like, you know, why can't I do that? But if you just stay with it, those small steps, and that's another thing with all of those things with healthy habits, if anything, start with small steps and build up over time. And for me with exercise, it was safe to do it that way. And it was effective. And now, you know, I do all kinds of things, you know, at the gym. It's amazing. It's just amazing. I can't believe it sometimes myself, and I enjoy it. Now it's a new fun thing for me. I never thought I would say that ever in my life that I enjoy fitness and that I have certain goals now and, you know, with that are fitness related. So yeah.
Yeah, you have to break through when it's difficult and frustrating and probably fatiguing when you first start out and then get to that point where it's invigorating. What kind of stuff do you do? What's your schedule like?
Yeah, well, currently I do group class 4 days a week. And the reason why I like the group class is because, well, first of all, they design them really well. You can modify as needed within the classes. And the gym I go to, the trainers all get together, the coaches, and they come up with the plan for the group classes the next week. So it's not just one person. It's a lot of, you know, a few different people that are designing them. And then also I sometimes have a bit of a lazy brain, so I don't have to think, you know, I just do. And so that's kind of nice too. I've been kind of guilty of that all along, truth be told, with my fitness journey. You know, I get a little lazy and like, what was that exercise called again? What's that called again? And, anyway, I have something to say about that in a minute, but so, I do group classes and they're different themes, like one's base, which is general, one's build, which I love, you know, it's building the muscles, of course. And then one is burn. So I do two burns a week in a build and a base. And then also, I do pull-up practice. And right now I'm working on lower body because that's been more of a, I don't want to say weakness, but I've neglected it. My upper body's fine. You know, I just need to maintain that. But I was doing a lot of upper body work before. I love the weights. I love that stuff. Endurance is, or the aerobic stuff I'm still working on. I tend to I don't want to say I tire out easy, but I've been so focused on the weightlifting, I kind of let the other things go. So I do like to mix it up with a little bit of everything. I don't want to be just stuck on, you know, one area. And that's what those classes help me with, that because they actually force my hand to do different things. So yeah. Yeah.
Well, geez, you said you're near a 9-minute mile, which is spectacular at your age. The Cooper Institute has wonderful data asserting that one's time in the mile run at age 50 is strongly predictive of their longevity and their health span. And, you know, their chances of living, feeling healthy and strong to age 80. And the superior category at age 50 is sub-9 for the female and sub-8 for the male. And then it goes to, in the needs to improve category. And then in the, the danger category would be like worse than 13 minutes, worse than 12 minutes for a male at age 50. So you're nice. Past that mark, and you're probably in the superior category if you're under 10. And yeah. It's really interesting to note that this is, you know, rated as better than blood panels to predict someone's, you know, future. And there's also similar research with squat competency, push-up competency. There's a great study with firefighters. Grip strength is strongly correlated with longevity. There's a great study out of Hawaii. And so if you're getting in and putting work in, it's contributing as good as anything else to all those goals that we have to, you know, age gracefully.
Gosh, I love those numbers. I did not know about any of that. That's fantastic. And my whole goal is to do reverse and aging, because I aged not just aesthetically, but physiologically so much from all those years of illness. So now I'm in this big thing of, I'm not in denial. I actually think it's fun. The older I get, the more I do, you know, it's kind of a fun internal competition with myself, you know, and like I turned 58 in June. So I'm like, I'd want to do this, this, and this by the time I'm 58. So it's an internal competition, but those numbers are fantastic. Like I had no idea about that. That's excellent. That's
something
so
to
good.
Shoot for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Just, I have to, you know, gosh, I love that. That's so good. And speaking of fitness, I do want to, because I mentioned before, I have a bit of a lazy brain with the fitness. I kind of just follow along and I really need to be a bit more sharp about that. So I do want to look at getting a fitness certification. And I heard on one of your podcasts that you're coming up with one. So I am going to hold off.
Get ready, people. Get ready. The Primal Fitness certification is coming soon. It's very comprehensive. It's an incredibly, diverse, you know, type of content where we're not just talking about how to lift the weights in the gym, but we're integrating all manner of healthy living and lifestyle practices. So I think you and the other coaches and people interested in fitness are going to love it. So you started feeling better. You lost your 30 pounds, kept it off. Your life turned around. And then tell us about how you got into the business of helping others.
Yeah. Well, I've always, you know, I've always liked helping people. And then when I was a clinic nurse, when I worked on the clinic side of things, in the hospital, a clinician side of things, I didn't care for it. And I got out of the clinic side of things pretty early on without knowing that that deep down, I was more into integrative, get to root cause. And I just remember just hanging, you know, these IV antibiotics over and over for like these young people that were just not getting any better. It was so discouraging. And it was just, you know, it broke my heart. And so I went into the admin side of things with my nursing background. I worked in compliance and things like that. And yeah, hospitals are a business. That was my job for many years, was to make sure we got our money. You know, so we won't get into the COVID thing with that. But anyway,
I like when they came in when I was still recovering from surgery and under the effects of anesthesia, and someone came in to check on me, and it was from the billing department, and they wanted my $1,000 copay. And I'm like, why don't you talk to me when I'm recovered? You know, get out of my room now. It was so offensive. I know it's a business, but I just had to throw that in there because I'm like, wait a second, this is why you're here. You're checking it. And they're very, you know, she came in really sweet. Hi, how you doing? I'm like, I'm feeling pretty good. The IV's in nicely and everything's fine. Well, I'm here to, you know, collect your money. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And you're just coming out from under. There's some things like in that about not getting signatures or anything from people while they're on drugs, like in the hospital.
Oh, maybe I should have signed away, you know, here, go ahead, charge me and then challenge the transaction later.
That would have been a big deal. Yeah, for sure. That's like, you know, one of the broken rules that shouldn't be broken, but oh my gosh, but I'm not surprised. And that's so sad, you know, for sure. You know, absolutely. But I always knew, you know, I wanted to help people. And then when I worked in the corporate setting, I got so sick. I was just a machine. Like I just worked and you know, went home and slept. And then I had a mother who was very ill off and on for 5 years that lived in the Chicago area. So that was a 2-hour commute each time. And, you know, that's all I did. And I had a bad time with boundaries too. So that's another mindset piece that was real important for me because I had no boundaries, you know, with that. But what the beauty is with the health coaching is I'm back to where I can help people and really help them, you know, at the level where, you know, they can definitely make improvements in their life and not be a band-aid, you know? And of course I had my own transformation. So I am like a triple zealot when it comes to this stuff, and especially, you know, people who are really down and out and lost hope. So those are the people who I want to reach. I really have a passion for people not suffering for 15, 20 years like I did, you know, at all. Like, let's narrow that window. That would be good. Yeah. You don't have to lose your life. Cause now, yeah, I'm enjoying my life and I'm quote, making up for lost time. Like I said, I'm, you know, in a race against myself all the time with things, you know, trying to reverse that aging, that accelerated aging that occurred. And, but I really don't want people to get that far, you know, and,
right.
You know, and there is always hope, but sometimes when things get so far, you can mitigate symptoms, but you have a much better chance if you, you know, get in there early on, for sure.
Yeah. How did you detox from the heavy metal accumulation that you were found to have?
That's a tough one. The big thing for me is to not let more bad things in. So I'm very selective about, like, I drink coffee and I eat strawberries. So those are highly pesticide, you know, those are, have a lot of pesticide in those crops. So those I do organic for sure. I did have over 40 IV chelation treatments, and, you know, I did do the follow-up labs and it did move it somewhat, you know, a little bit, but I was still in the highly elevated ranges. Mm. So it's, and that can be really tough on your kidneys. And it's, so my thing for detox now would be more things like activated charcoal. You know, that's a big one, you know, for me, for sure. And mostly not letting more in. I just don't get rid of the metals like a regular person. I know we all have metals in our body. I'm just not excreting them like other people. So the heavy metals, I will probably go back into the IV stuff again. They would give me like IV glutathione and B12 to help me along because it was really rough on my body and I would get really tired. And when I was first doing that, that was in the early stages of my transformation. So I was still tired, you know, with that. And I was, I'm doing it under the care of a physician who knows what she's doing, you know, with this stuff. So it's totally safe, you know, for me. But interestingly, like I'll really burn it at the gym, you know, my heart monitor. I watch it closely because I don't want to stay in the red zone too long. I have an aneurysm too, so I need to make sure, you know, like I keep all that in check. But I'll burn, like they'll have a special burn class on Thanksgiving morning. And I remember I burned like 900 calories and I barely sweat and my hair looked the same and everything. And everyone's dripping wet. That's not normal though. So now I am starting to sweat more, which is good. And that's what I like about the running too, because that's when I actually do start building up a sweat, you know, when I get at it like that. So I know that's really important, you know, for detox too. I wanted to do infrared sauna, but I'm not sure about having the titanium in my neck now, you know, and I can't find an answer about that. If that would get too hot near my spinal cord. I know that's a strange thing.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
But I'm just worried about that. So I am going to look at the red light therapy as the next tool, because this will be an ongoing thing for me. So I do need to keep up with that. The longer we live, the more metals we're going to get in our body. And for me, it's just more so than a, you know, person who doesn't have those genetic detox issues. Yeah.
So when you have a client, I assume mostly or entirely remote, where you're working with them from different cities, and how does that relationship work?
Yeah, it's really good. I'm an online coach, so everything's online, but some people are local. I did have a couple local people where, you know, we can get together after COVID, you know, when people felt more safe, you know, to have a lunch when the establishments were open and things like that again, and have coffee, you know, or meet for a walk. Sometimes I've had walking coaching sessions, but otherwise it's online. And what it is for the, I generally do 12-week programs. I don't do the short programs anymore. I used to, and I just feel like true transformation does take time. And I'm not against 21-day programs. They're great kickstarts and things like that. But I really want to be with somebody to get them really going on those habits and get them established. So 12 weeks is my minimum. And then I have retention clients too, that will stay on. If someone has over 100 pounds to lose or over 60 pounds of weight to lose and a lot of other issues, it's a slow going process. And losing weight the right way, of course, it's going to be slower. It's going to be, you know, lasting, you know, that's the good part of it, but it'll be slower. And just to get those habits ingrained, because the wheels do fall off the bus. Most of my clients are very busy. They have no time to spare. Their moms, grandmoms with full-time, you know, executive jobs and just busy all the time, you know, with that. But we do meet once a week, whether it's on Zoom, a call, you know, however they want to do it. We have a check-in once a week for every week of the 12 weeks. And then I do have an app. It's not my own app that I created. It's one I subscribe to that has healthy habits in it. We design the healthy habits, customize them to that particular client. And you decide also what the non-negotiables are going to be, because sometimes the wheels fall off the bus. Well, they're guaranteed to at some point they're going to. And that's the whole point of learning how to still maintain a healthy lifestyle, you know, while you're going through all the bad stuff that's going to come off, you know, in your life for sure. And so you just need to keep that momentum, pick a few things that are non-negotiable. And then I text, we do text check-ins daily, especially for the beginning clients. So that way my hands, fingers always on the pulse, if you will, you know, and it does make a difference to have someone that you know is watching in a non-judgmental way. I had a client that did just recently, she did the 12-week program and came back, you know, to resume. She said she just needs the accountability. And it's not a bad thing. Like, it doesn't make you like a less of a strong person or anything. It just, you know, our brains are powerful and society is powerful. Like, it's easy to gravitate. Like, it took me a long time to walk in the grocery store. They have all the bakery goods right there. I used to be a sugar addict too. Plus I was so tired. So the sugar would give me that 2 minutes of energy. I would buy that stuff and eat it like on the way home and throw the garbage away before I walked in the house. So no one knew I had it, you know, things like that. So I know that takes a long time, you know, to get over. So there's no, you know, guilt or shame in someone needing to spend more than 12 weeks, you know, for sure. This is a life-changing journey, really. And so it's like 3 months to get the habit set down and then 3 additional months for it to become a lifestyle is generally speaking. Yeah.
I love it. And you've been through it. So yeah. The client has instant comfort and openness with you. It's great. It's amazing what you're doing. Tell us how we can connect further with you and learn more about your operation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my website is dailywellnessforyou.com. And you can reach me through there. There's a good way to connect with me. Just, you know, the contact button on that webpage. Or I'm on Facebook just with my name, Barbara Diaz de Leon. I think there's just a few of us in this world. I'm probably the only blonde one, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, that's my husband's last name, not mine. And then also I have a group, a Facebook group that's pretty active called Primal and Pink. And right now I'm doing the challenge right now with the ladies. That one's for ladies only. I tend to work with women, but you know, so that group that I have is for the ladies, but probably the best way would be dailywellnessforyou.com. And I can get a 7-day meal plan from there that, you know, comes automatically with subscribing to my email. And and I'm, you know, happy to chat anytime. I do a lot of discovery calls and things like that, you know, as a courtesy, you know, without charging, just to get people on the right path.
Nothing to lose, people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Barbara Diaz de Leon, thank you so much for spending time with us and talking us through your amazing journey. Keep up the good work. And if anyone scoffs when she's talking about trying to reverse the aging, by almost every literal biological definition, you are younger and healthier than that person who was suffering at age 30, 37, 38. Yeah. It's fantastic. And you can keep going, keep carrying the torch for anti-aging.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that. Thank you for having me on your show. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, listeners, I want to tell you a true story about the super awesome Paleo Valley Superfood Bars. And I can't believe I'm promoting an energy bar because I literally took a 17-year break or so from eating a single bar. That's because I've eaten plenty in my day. Back when I was a triathlete, I was sponsored by the original big-name bar makers, and I used them for so many years on long bike rides and then leaking into my life as a daily habit. But guess what? Most energy bars, even today as we evolve and have better product selection in so many ways, most energy bars contain as much sugar as a candy bar, and even the high protein bars have lots of sugar and usually an inferior quality protein. Paleo Valley bars, on the other hand, are free from added sugar or processed sugar and have an assortment of bonus ingredients like grass-fed beef bone broth protein for your collagen needs, a blend of nutritious plant-based ingredients like pumpkin seed, kale, broccoli, spinach, blueberry, spirulina, cherry, turmeric, ginger, Himalayan pink salt, and very importantly, the product is cold processed. It's hard to use the word superfood unless it's deserved, and it really is deserved with this product. I get a distinct sensation of feeling satisfied and nourished after eating a Paleo Valley bar, and it lasts for hours. And let me tell you, these bars are the real deal. They've been rigorously taste-tested by Brad Kearns himself on my epic 22-mile Cactus to Clouds hike back in October, where I ate 5 bars in a single day while hiking the single most difficult hiking trail in the United States in Palm Springs. Paleo Valley Superfood Bars actually taste great all day long because they're not overly sweet and they're filled with those healthful ingredients that give you true satisfaction. Hey, go try some out. What do you have to lose? PaleoValley.com. Take that 15% discount with the code BRAD15.
Thank you for listening to the show. I love sharing the experience with you and greatly appreciate your support. Please email podcast@bradventures.com with feedback, suggestions, and questions for the Q&A shows. Subscribe to our email list at bradkearns.com for a weekly blast about the published episodes and a wonderful bi-monthly newsletter edition with informative articles and practical tips for all aspects of healthy living. You can also download several awesome free ebooks when you subscribe to the email list. And if you could go to the trouble to leave a 5 or 5-star review with Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the shows, that would be super incredibly awesome. It helps raise the profile of the BRAD podcast and attract new listeners. And did you know that you can share a show with a friend or loved one by just hitting a few buttons in your player and firing off a text message? My awesome podcast player called Overcast allows you to actually record a soundbite excerpt from the episode you're listening to and fire it off with a quick text message. Thank you so much for spreading the word. And remember, be rad.